Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's my delight to join you by way of this radio broadcast today. Looking forward to your involvement as we do this broadcast day by day and week by week. It is a listener participation program. It's a Q&A. You have the opportunity to call in, ask questions, join in the dialogue and the discussion. Let me remind you early on that you can dial 401-1413, 904-401-1413, get you directly to our studios and right to the microphone so we can have that dialogue and discussion. But may I remind you, as we deal with issues, ladies and gentlemen, it's not based on some denominational dogma. It's not based on ideological philosophy. It's not based on what I think, say, or feel. We base the broadcast on truth of the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? I find it fascinating in the society in which we're living today that truth is no longer a sought-after term or word. It seems to be lost in the vocabulary of the average citizen and human being today. But Jesus dealt with it extensively in the Word of God. In fact, he said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God. And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." So when we face issues, ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. And when we study the Scripture, we find that God created the home, he created government, and he created the church, and in that order. So anything that we discuss, anything that we talk about on this broadcast, dealing with the home, government, church, any of those areas that God has identified in the Scripture, and all of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, in toto, in complete totality, as you study the Scripture, you find that it covers the home, the church, and government in every aspect. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you that as we face the issues, we do so based on the Scripture. And we invite you to join in the dialogue and discussion today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about a subject that most are fearful of talking about and or have no concern to discuss it. In fact, there's silence from our pulpits today about the subject of euthanasia, infanticide, and our servitude. When I say servitude, I'm talking about we're entering into an era that America is going into the servitude under socialism and communism in our nation. We're on the fast track for that, ladies and gentlemen. We'll touch on that in this threefold broadcast today. I'm trying to boil it down into a nutshell. There's a whole lot that can be said about each of the categories: euthanasia, infanticide, and our servitude. And I think that's the track that we're on. I believe that we're watching it today, ladies and gentlemen, as we do. We're made to understand that the truth of the Word of God about the last days is very, very prominent, if you will, and we ought to look up and understand it. In fact, in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 1 and following, and I'll just read verse 1 for the benefit of time. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And I think I could say, without any diminishing of the Word of God, perilous times have come. They're present today. We're living in the last of the last days. That word perilous, ladies and gentlemen, means dark, difficult, dangerous, devastating, depraved. And that's where we are. And you can look at the balance of that unit of thought, the first three or four verses, and it talks about what life will be like and what human beings will be doing. Anyone can simply look and listen to what is happening in our world. Look and listen to what is happening in our society. All we need to do is look and listen as to what's happening in our state and on the local levels. And we understand that we're on the fast track in a direction that we never thought we'd go, and most perhaps didn't intend to go, but the political pressures and the lobbyist movement and the one world order and the philosophy that if you're old or if you're deformed, or if you are in the womb, you have no value. That we see these elements in society today pushing us rapidly down the pathway in the realm of euthanasia, infanticide, and ultimately into servitude. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a day where good is called evil. Evil is called good. Truth is no longer sought for. And human life has no real value. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand the Word of God is very, very clear. The Scripture says God created us in His image. The Scripture is very, very clear that God's law says, "Thou shalt not kill." And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we're finding the violation of the Word of God on every hand and in every fashion and being carried out by our political leadership on both local, state, and national level. And we, for the most part, are being silent about it. Let me just tuck in this little thought, ladies and gentlemen. If you're listening to this broadcast and you're concerned, if you're listening to this broadcast or the broadcast on issues that we have each and every day, if you're listening and you're concerned, I would suggest talk with your pastor. Ask him why not address these issues from the pulpit. Ask him why he is silent. Silence in the pulpit ought not to be. Silence from the standpoint of our citizens ought not to be. We need to take a verbal, visible, valiant stand for truth, and the truth of the Word of God is very, very clear that we're in the last days and we need to speak up. Ladies and gentlemen, our nation now places a greater value on animal life than on human life. Do you realize it's illegal in the state of New York to transport a pregnant cow because the cow may endanger, that transportation may endanger the calf in the womb? And as one alderman in the state of New York said, after all, that calf cannot defend itself. We must defend life for the calf. Do you realize in the state of New York, ladies and gentlemen, that it's illegal to give a lethal injection to a prisoner on death row? And yet one of the most barbaric, one of the most far-reaching, one of the most devastating bills has been passed in New York that gives the authority to the mother, if you will, to make a determination on the life in the womb, and even to the point where the baby is being birthed can commit infanticide and kill that child coming out of the womb. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it's one of the most barbaric things we've seen in the history of America. In many states, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, it's illegal to harm in any fashion a dog or a cat. In fact, we have state after state after state across America today where they're pushing for some type of animal protection acts. In fact, there's some in Congress today, ladies and gentlemen, from the federal government level, we'll talk about this later, that's wanting to have a bill passed that will make it a federal crime across America to harm an animal. Did you hear me? Did you understand what I said? There's a movement in Washington in the House of Representatives, and their wacko condition in this particular go-around with some of the newer members, with some that are far-fetched, far-reaching ideas of what America should be like, are wanting to pass a bill that will make it a federal law, a federal crime, punishable by either fines or jail time if you harm an animal. Ladies and gentlemen, the Scripture is still very, very clear. Thou shalt not kill. An abortion is murder. Euthanasia for the elderly is murder. Assisted suicide is murder. And I just make the statement, have we as a society lost our sense of humanity? Are we now living in a barbaric society where murder in any fashion is okay. Ladies and gentlemen, for years across America, if a drunk driver or a driver that's out of control of his vehicle hits a car and there's an expecting mother in the car, it's always been the case that a person would be tried for involuntary manslaughter for killing the baby and killing the mother, or if the mother's not killed, killing the baby in the womb. In fact, it's Dr. James Dobson in his article that says, and I quote, I'm reading the headline, Dobson says New York adopts pure barbarianism rarely seen even in the Middle Ages. And the article reads this way, a new abortion law passed by New York's Democratic-led state Senate legislature and signed into law by Governor Andrew Cuomo permits the abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy up to the very moment of birth for almost any reason. He further says to celebrate the law, Cuomo ordered that One World Trade Center be illuminated in pink. The law also moves abortion violation from the state penal code to the health code. The article goes on to say the Reproductive Health Act, known as RHA, its main aim is to justify abortion throughout a pregnancy's entire term based on the overly broad exceptions defined in Roe's companion case, Doe versus Bolton, including such subjective measures as a woman's emotional and psychological well-being. Late-term abortions had only previously been authorized in New York if done to save the life of the mother, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize in the new law to murder by way of abortion in New York that a dentist can perform the abortion? One that is simply a nurse can perform the abortion? One that is a chiropractor can perform the abortion? It's not limited to a medical physician that knows the anatomy and has studied it and will be better capable of doing it, but it is open to anyone, just about anyone in the state of New York carrying it out. In fact, this article by Dr. Dobson says New York was already considered the abortion capital of the nation, but this bill also allows non-physicians to commit abortion and decriminalizes abortion by moving it from the criminal code to the health code in the state of New York. Ladies and gentlemen, it's horrible when we see that taking place, but it's not just New York. It is there Simpson seems to be a race to the bottom, a race to the bottom across America to see which state can get to the bottom, and it's the bottom, as I call it, of societal norms to murder by way of abortion. And yet there are those that say that a woman has the right to decide. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that's a fabricated lie. There's no human being that has the right to decide life. It's an impossibility. There's no longer just abortion in the womb or murder by way of abortion in the womb. Now it's, how would you say, determined by the mother, even after that baby is born, that as the governor of Virginia so stated in a radio interview, that if the baby is born and the mother decides she doesn't want it, you can just place the baby over on the table, keep that baby comfortable until it dies. That is infanticide. Infanticide. Ladies and gentlemen, it's bad enough to murder that baby in the womb. And it's been determined that, as the physicians for years have told the pregnant mothers, that baby is just fatal tissue. It feels nothing. It's already been determined, ladies and gentlemen, that that child feels absolute pain. In fact, I've got one article where the mother had already been injected with a saline solution to kill the baby in the womb for the mother to come back the next day for the abortion to be completed. And it was not done. And that mother says, in her traumatized condition now years later, says for days she felt that baby writhing and kicking in the womb because of its pain that it was going through. Ladies and gentlemen, even Jesse Lee Peterson, the black preacher that so eloquently says so much in relationship to moral ethics and values, he's a conservative. Here's one of the statements by Pastor Peterson. Title of the article, There's No Such Thing as Productive Rights. He says, for almost 29 years, I've been speaking out against abortion. I've led protests against protests outside Planned Parenthood abortion mills. I've spoken to people hurt by abortions on my radio show and written articles to get the truth out. Outside the abortion clinic, I pleaded with a teenager not to kill her child inside the womb. I even offered to take care of her child for her with the help of my nonprofit organization, Bond, but it was already too late. The doctor had injected her with a saline solution that would kill her child. The doctor lied and said that the baby would not feel anything. For days, she felt her child struggling and kicking for life inside her womb before finally dying. To this day, the young woman is traumatized with living a life of guilt, end quote. Further in the article, Jesse Lee Peterson says, in New York, the Democratic majority government passed a new pro-abortion law allowing the mothers to kill their unborn children up to the due date. Democrats dubbed it the Reproductive Health Act, declaring abortion a fundamental right. According to the New York Right to Life, the Democrats' idea of a mother's health involves very vague considerations of age, economic, social, and emotional factors. In reality, Democrats put personal convenience above a child's life, ignoring the right of the father, spoiling and lying to the mother, who later suffers. Democrats pretend that a human being inside the mother is not a person and should die if the mother chooses to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have the right, I don't have the right, to make a determination to take a life, and that's what abortion is doing. But ladies and gentlemen, I find it sad when this is taking place, and at the same time, as I mentioned earlier, here's a proposed bill that would make animal cruelty a federal felony. Two lawmakers, a Democrat and Republican, have proposed a bill that would make animal cruelty a felony, federal felony. Congressman Ted Deutch and Vern Buchanan, both from Florida, think the PACT, P-A-C-T, PACT Act will close a gap that existed for years. But the PACT Act, which stands for Prevention of Animal Cruelty and Torture, will broaden the scope of the prosecutors. For instance, right now, all 50 states have laws in its books against animal cruelty on the state level. But what is the animals? What if the animal is being tortured across state lines? These legislators ask. If the bill passes, authorities can go after the wrongdoers because they have federal jurisdiction. They can also prosecute animal cruelty if it occurs on federal property. This article says this is common sense, bipartisan legislation to bring some compassion to the animals and their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's not a conflict of and an irony, I've never seen one. But I am so thankful that we have those on the state level, in the House and the Senate. We have those on a national level that have introduced, and the laws have been passed. Some of them are just now introducing the bills on a national level called the Fetal Heartbeat Bill. And the Fetal Heartbeat Bill in the state of Florida, I'm delighted to tell you, the bill is being considered at the legislative session in the state of Florida in Tallahassee beginning March the 5th. Dateline, here's an article. Tallahassee, Florida, a controversial abortion measure known as the Fetal Heartbeat Bill, has been filed in the Florida Senate, mirroring a bill filed last month in the House. Senator Dennis Baxley, Republican of Ocala, filed the proposal, HB, that's House Bill 792, on Wednesday for consideration during the legislative session that starts March 5th. The proposal would bar doctors, that is, prevent the doctors from performing abortions after the fetal heartbeats have been detected. In a prepared statement Thursday, Senator Baxley pointed to the number of abortions since the U.S. Supreme Court's landmark Roe v. Wade decision in 1973. Here's what Senator Baxley says. It's time for us to face our history of the last 46 years and the 61 million faces of our offspring that we have extinguished, end quote. Quote, the heartbeat has always been the clear signal of the presence of life, and that life must be protected. Representative Mike Hill, representative a Republican of Pensacola, filed an identical bill, HB 235, last month, drawing opposition from the abortion rights supporters. Similar legislation has drawn heavy debate in other states. Ladies and gentlemen, state after state after state is passing or attempting to pass the fetal heartbeat bill. And I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to contact Tallahassee, talk with your legislator, talk with your senator, talk with your representative, commend them for this bill. In the House and in the Senate, the matching bill is the bill that would prevent abortion after the heartbeat. Perhaps you ask the question, well, when would that be? Medical science has said somewhere between 5 and 12 weeks. Sometimes the heartbeat appears sooner than others. Sometimes, depending on the sonogram equipment that the medical professionals use, will determine that heartbeat sooner rather than later. But nevertheless, that's a starting point. That's not the final of what I would like to see. I would like to see an absolute overturn of Roe versus Wade, which allows the medical profession to take life into their hands and destroy life. Ladies and gentlemen, I am thankful for these senators and these representatives. But ladies and gentlemen, let's do a little fast forward and talk about not only the murder by way of abortion, the euthanasia that's taking place by way of abortion. Euthanasia is simply a glorified term, if you will, to simply mask the term murder. But ladies and gentlemen, we not only are watching the murder of our babies in the mother's womb, but our nation is now on the fast track toward murder of the elderly by way of euthanasia, putting the elderly to death. Listen, I don't know if you're aware of it, ladies and gentlemen, and I've done several broadcasts down through the years about the hospice centers where a patient is placed in hospice. It's where sons and daughters or family members determine that I don't want to take care of mom and dad anymore. I don't want to take care of Aunt Susie or Uncle John anymore, and therefore I'm just going to pass them off into hospice, where in hospice, listen, ladies and gentlemen, people do not leave hospice. You go in the front door and you exit through the back door by way of the local mortician. The hospice centers are designed to dispatch your life, to dispatch you. That is the goal. That is the ultimate end of it. And all of the hospice organizations, ladies and gentlemen, are funded by the insurance companies and by Medicare and Medicaid. And on all of these levels, the desired purpose is to get you in and get you out. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the first 36 to 48 hours in that bed in a hospice center is where they make the greatest level of income and profitability. Therefore, if you linger, they allow you to linger beyond about 36 to 48 hours, then the income that they receive is highly diminished, and therefore their goal is to dispatch you sooner rather than later. Now, after about 70 years of age, 70, 75 years of age, through the insurance company's enforcement of the medical, if you please, laws, the doctors now spend less time with you when you go in. And if you're 70, 75, 80 years of age, they're going to give you a questionnaire. In that questionnaire, they want to know, have you considered dying? Are you depressed? Do you think about taking your life? Have you considered that you've lived long enough? Are there any guns in your home? Do you wear a seatbelt? Do you have someone to take care of you? And all of these questionnaires, ladies and gentlemen, are designed for them to accumulate a record so that they can determine by way of the insurance company administered by your physician that normally we'd have faith and trust in, but the physicians have become the administrative tools for the insurance company and by the healthcare industry today that dictates what they're going, how they're going to handle you and what they're going to do. Why do you want to live so long? That's a question, ladies and gentlemen, that was asked, and I'm familiar with it because it was shared to me by an individual that had gone through it. And the question was asked of the elderly person being examined by the physician, why do you want to live so long? That was the question. And that individual was just in the mid-70s. But the idea today is if you want to prolong your life, if you want to live longer, there's something wrong with you mentally, emotionally, and therefore we need to get to the bottom of it and help dispatch you. And ladies and gentlemen, the doctors and the insurance companies are now being used as the instruments simply to carry out the murder by way of euthanasia. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article dated February the 9th, or it's going back to the 9th. A widow wants improved care, not assisted suicide. Christine Hansen of the Patients' Rights Action Fund testified her husband was diagnosed with a brain cancer in 2014 and was given only 4 months to live. However, he died in 2018. She asked the committee to improve care, not assisted suicide. The New Jersey Senate Health Committee held hearings before voting on the bill that would allow doctors to prescribe life-ending meds to terminally ill patients. The committee voted to approve the bill. That's in New Jersey, ladies and gentlemen, where there is the sense that the physician can make a determination when your life is no longer of value and can dispatch you. In fact, it's been discovered, and time will not allow me to go into all of the articles that I have in my file on the subject. It's been discovered across state lines and state after state after state in America where physicians are dispatching patients by the dozens because they determine that you've lived long enough. Here's an article that says, as of March 2018, active human euthanasia is legal in the Netherlands, Belgium, Colombia, Luxembourg, Canada. Assisted suicide is legal in Switzerland, Germany, and the Netherlands, and in the United States, in the state of Washington, Oregon, Colorado, Hawaii, Vermont, Montana, Washington, D.C., and the state of California. Ladies and gentlemen, even though it's not been voted on as a legal issue, as a bill in all of the states in America, your life and my life is in danger. In fact, now as I speak, in Canada, if you rush to the emergency room, whatever the cause may be, they make the determination for you and for your family as to whether or not you need to be dispatched. I am petrified with this taking place in our nation. I am concerned, ladies and gentlemen, of where we're going in our nation today. Here's an article that says, Ohio physician allegedly ordered 28 people potentially fatal doses of opioid killers, painkillers, and their families wondered why he was not stopped. Experts say there are safeguards that should have prevented patients from being over-medicated to the point of their death. Christine Allison and her husband, Troy, were watching television in their Columbus, Ohio home last July when his breathing became erratic. She dialed the paramedics and fetched her husband a paper bag to calm him while they waited. She said, "I'll see you in a minute." She said, in those frantic moments when the ambulance arrived, "I'm on my way, honey." About 3 hours later, Troy Allison was pronounced dead at the age of 44. What happened at Mount Carmel West Hospital is that the thing that baffles her, but it was discovered that the physician had administered a lethal dose of fentanyl to dispatch him. And later investigations determined that he had done that with 28 people that the physician had made the determination they either are not worth saving or they are elderly and should not be anything administered to try to help them. This article goes on to say the physician's license was suspended by the State Medical Board of Ohio, which said the allegations against him were so grievous and so serious that he was not afforded a hearing prior to the board's vote and can no longer practice medicine in that state. But ladies and gentlemen, the problem with medical license, they can be transferred or renewed or can be gotten in other states. Most of these physicians like that will simply get their license renewed in another state and allow them to continue to dispatch elderly people and are those that are medically being treated in an emergency room. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about not only infanticide in the child, in the mother's womb. We're talking about legal euthanasia, where it's taking place across America today. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, I've studied the documents. I've watched the videos. I've listened to the audios where physicians and their focus groups will discuss how they can get the patient's family members to agree for them to dispatch them. For example, you've heard this. You know he or she would not really want to live this way if they survive. Even if he or she survives, they will simply be a vegetable. Or why not just let them die peacefully? Or they will say, you know, we can help them as they pass on from this life. We can help them to simply be calm and have a painless death. Why not just let them die without pain? Hospice will just increase the morphine dose until the lethal injection or the lethal drip takes the patient out, dispatches them. Here's an article that says, here's why a person with disabilities do not want New Jersey to have a law that allows people to kill them. Ladies and gentlemen, in New Jersey, they're about to pass a bill that would allow those that are disabled, those that are diseased, and those that are on their way out as age would have it. They are wanting to be able to dispatch them legally in the state of New Jersey. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned about where we are, because with all of this being said, we're also on the fast track toward total domination by socialism and communism that will bring the American citizen into servitude to a dictator. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining in this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.